The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Sorrow may come in the darkest night, but the cross has the final word. There's nothing stronger, nothing higher. There's nothing greater than the name of Jesus. All the honor, all the power, all the glory to the name of Jesus. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Evil may put up its strong fight, but the cross has the final word. There's nothing stronger, nothing higher, nothing greater than the name of Jesus. All the honor, all the power, all the glory to the name of Jesus. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. The Savior has come with the morning light. The cross has the final word. Oh, oh, all glory and honor is yours. Oh,
amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you very much for singing along with us. Thank you, team. Super Bowl Sunday. There's going to be two teams today battling it out, being paid millions and millions of dollars for a trophy and a title, champs. We're new world champs. What do they call them? Forget. World champions. Put it that way. And I love football. You know that. These guys have done. Those players out there have dedicated themselves years and years of training and practice. But in reality, folks, they're fighting for a trophy that one day will not exist. A trophy that will turn into dust. And in a few years, people will be asked, who won the Super Bowl in 2025? And most won't be able to remember. There's a lot of teams on the face of the planet playing for a lot of things. But there's one team. One team that plays for the highest stakes. And what we seek to win will last for all eternity. And that is human souls individual people. Their souls are dirty, separated from God, but just as we were cleansed in the blood, they can be cleansed in the blood. And that's why we exist. That's why we are a church. That's why we decided to be His team. And that is what we play for. So the greatest team is the church. But we have been looking at in Bible prophecy the condition of that faithful church, that team, that chosen, those chosen people of God, what it would look like towards the end, and it would be in serious trouble. And that's what we've been looking at in this prophecy update, and today we're in part 6, the rapture, and this is going to wrap it up for today, the whole prophecy update. So, looking at the rapture, there's some things I want to say just up front. This subject of the rapture is not a subject we needed to divide on as the body of Christ. There are some things that are set in stone. They're called doctrine, and we will not move from them. And we're not to move from them. We're not to have fellowship with people who are churches that go against what the Bible says. Now, the rapture is one of those that we don't have to be so dogmatic about. Some people want to believe post-trib, mid-trib, others pre-trib. And then there's now new theories. It's all over the place. I used to be a post-tribber. As a new believer, I was a post-tribber because that's what someone taught me, and I didn't know any better. A couple years later, I was a mid-trib. Someone else taught me. Years later, I said, I need to do in-depth study and research on the subject. What does the Bible actually teach? And when I did that, I'm pre. And a lot of people today are like, oh, pre-tribbers, you people. And that's okay. I did a sermon, if you want to go back, when we were in COVID lockdowns. It's on our video channel, YouTube channel. It's called The Rapture Sermon, about 4 years ago. It's about an hour and a half. And I went in and I laid out the entire case of my research from years ago, why I am a pre-trib believer. It's all laid out there, so you can go listen to that if you're interested in the subject. Today's sermon, even though it's called The Rapture, I'm not really focused on the rapture itself as the timing. You can be post, mid-trib, it doesn't matter. But we do know that towards the end, there's going to be the end of days, the last days, the tribulation period, the days of the sorrows, days of Jacob and the tribulation, all these things, different names the Bible comes up with, days of sorrow, to describe the end of time as we know it. And that's what really I want to focus on with this today. And I plan on being out of here on time this morning. So when will the Antichrist come on the scene? When will the New World Order come on? The Mark of the Beast, the Battle of Armageddon, the Second Coming of Jesus Christ, and oh yeah, the Rapture of the Church. When will the last days begin? Well, technically, the last days have already begun. They begin with the coming of Jesus. The book of Hebrews chapter 1 says this, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. God spoke to the people through the Old Testament prophets. Has in these, what? Last days spoken to us by His Son. You see, the coming of Jesus started the end time clock. But it's been about 2,000 years. How long is the last days going to be? Well, we know that there is a period of the last days that is really the right before the end of days. It's the days of sorrow the Bible talks about. Are we in that period? How close are we? Are we in that time period right before the tribulation? The period of testing that will come upon the whole earth. The Bible talks about this in Revelation chapter 3. Jesus says to the faithful church, I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. But you've kept my word. I've not denied my name. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon the whole world. Well, what hour of trial has come upon the whole world? Well, there's been one recorded in history. And that was the flood of Noah. Nothing else has tried the whole world. But there is another event coming that's going to try the whole world. The Bible has prophesied about from the book of Daniel forward. The tribulation period. This hour is not literal an hour. It's like when Winston Churchill said this: "Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour." What hour was he talking about? Battle of Britain. That went on for weeks. World War II, standing up to Hitler. This hour talked about in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. It's a period of time. But it's going to test the whole world. But he promises the faithful church to pull them out before. One of the reasons I'm pre-trib. But again, how close are we to this period of testing that will come upon the whole world? And then why a tribulation period anyway? Why does God not just stop things? Return. Why can't Jesus come back? Just boom and end everything. Well, let's answer that question, why a tribulation period. We find that answer in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your city. So, context here is very important. He's speaking to Daniel. Daniel the prophet, who is in Babylon because Israel is in captivity at this moment this is being written. So context here is Daniel. So Daniel's people are who? That's the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, and your holy city, Jerusalem. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. Weeks are like what we say, a decade now is 10 years. A week is 7 years. 70 weeks are determined for your people and your holy city. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. 70 weeks are determined for your people. And do all that is listed here. The final week, by the end of the 70th week, all that will be accomplished. God will have accomplished what He has foretold us. He has dealt with humanity's sin, reconciled humanity to Himself, bringing in everlasting righteousness, to fulfill all prophecies, all promises, all covenants that God has made, and to anoint the most holy, Jesus. Psalms 2, kiss the Son, because He is going to be King. So we have a tribulation period to bring everything God has foretold and fulfill it all. Verse 25 of this same chapter. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, remember the one that was foretold in Genesis chapter 3, the one that came from the seed of the woman, the one who would destroy what Satan had done, a seed of Abraham. From going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now the Jews are in Babylon. And then Babylon was conquered by Persia. But they're still in captivity. But the command is going to come. And the Jews are going to be able to return back to the land of Israel. And they're going to be able to rebuild. When that command comes, the weeks, the clock starts to tick. And in 70 weeks, everything God says will be accomplished will be accomplished. So, 70-week timeline would start with this command to go back home. There's a 7-week period and then a 62-week period. They're connected, but different things are happening in these two periods. 7 weeks and 62 weeks, that equals 69 weeks, which is 483 years. When the command comes for the Jews to return back to their land after captivity, 483 years, Messiah the Prince will show up in Israel. It would take 69 weeks for Messiah to come. Verse 26. But after 62 weeks, the 7-week period and then the 62-week period. We're still at 69. But after the 62-week period, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. He's going to die. But he's not dying for himself. He's dying for the sins of the world. What we just celebrated on the communion table. Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who are the people who destroyed after Jesus died? Who was the people who destroyed the city, Jerusalem, and the temple? Romans. In 70 AD and the finally complete destruction of Israel by 135 AD. But there's a prince who's still to come. Messiah is king. There's a prince, someone lower in authority is coming though. And he's coming from the people who destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD, which is the old Roman Empire. And if you study European history, dictator, fascist leaders, even today, the EU, ever since the fall of the Roman Empire, Europe has been trying to bring it back. A united Europe as it was under the Romans. It's coming. And there's a prince who's going to come out of the old Roman Empire, renewed, reimagined. There is a prince who is going to come. After the 69 weeks, Jesus dies for humanity. The Jews reject their Messiah. The Romans destroy Jerusalem and the temple. And then there seems to be a break. There is a break. There's a break in the timeline. Why? Between the 69 weeks that have already been accomplished, 483 years, and then there's a 7-year period still left, the 70th week of Daniel, where God brings everything to an end. He fulfills all prophecies, all prophecies and promises and covenants. Sin is dealt with. Everything is good. Jesus is anointed king. But between the 69th week and that 70th week, there's been a break in God's timeline. Why? There's a period where God has been working through a new group of people, a chosen people, a called people, to be salt and light, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Because remember, when God promised Abraham that all his seed, and there's one seed where all the families of the earth would be blessed through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ. See, the Jews were supposed to be the light to the nations, but they got sidetracked into sin, cares of this life, false religion. They turned the law into Judaism, And they got sidetracked, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they weren't the light to the nations. But God promised that all the families of the earth will be blessed. So because of the Jews, they did not do what they were supposed to, and they end up getting destroyed by Rome. God has a break between the 69th week and the 70th week from happening, called the church age, where he called the church. And the gospel goes out to all the world. God has promised that. He has to fulfill it, because by the 70th week, all his promises are fulfilled. Well, Israel isn't going to be sharing the gospel as a nation. They're not going to share the gospel with the world. So God has the church. And it's his church. Matthew 16 says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," and it's not Peter, it's the statement that Peter made, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. "On that foundation, on that rock, I will build my church," Jesus said. My church. It's not our church. It wasn't the church of our grandparents and great-grandparents. The church has always belonged to Christ. And those who are called into it should understand that. That's why we don't make it about ourselves. "And the gates of Hades," of hell, "should not prevail against it." Now I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The church has the authority given to us by Christ to say there is only one way. When people say, "How dare you? Who do you think you are to say that you're the only way?" Well, Jesus said it himself, and we're his church, and he's told us to teach what he has taught. And we have the keys, meaning we can tell people, yes, this is sinful, this is wrong, turn from it, repent, put your faith in Jesus Christ. We have the authority based on him. Matthew 28 says, "Go therefore and make all disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The church age. It's going to come to an end. Because there's a testing coming upon the whole world. But the faithful church, he says, "I will keep you from that hour of trial." The church age will come to an end. The 69 weeks have been fulfilled, 483 years from the time the Jews left Babylon, Persia, and they came back to their land. Messiah came. Messiah was cut off. And then there's the church age. But that 70th week is somewhere out there. Those last 7 years. That's going to test the whole world. How close are we? The 7-year tribulation period will take place. A third temple will be built, and a 7-year peace treaty will be signed with the Antichrist. Let's go back to Daniel 9, verse 27. "Then he," the prince who is to come from the old Roman Empire, "then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week." 7 years. 7 years. But it's a fake. It's false. Because the Antichrist is false. It's not the real Christ. It's not the real Messiah. You see, the Jews made a huge mistake in their theology. Looking at the Old Testament scriptures, they looked at them down the line like this. And the Bible said in the Old Testament that Jesus was coming in two stages in the Old Testament. First time he's coming as Isaiah 53, the suffering servant of Israel, to die for the sins of the world. The second time he comes, he's coming as king, and he's going to bring peace to Israel and to the world. But see, the Jews saw those two comings as one. And then they took the suffering servant of Israel and applied it to themselves as a nation, most of them did. So they really only saw the one, him, the Messiah, coming as king to bring peace. You know, Israel's never had peace. They're still at war today. See, they should have looked at the scriptures this way. Full context. Wait a minute, there's two comings. You see, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, this prince who is to come, he's going to bring what? A covenant with many. Peace. They're going to think it's the true Messiah. Because Jesus didn't bring them peace at first. Because he was coming to die for their sins. He wasn't coming the second. That's the second time he. So the Antichrist is going to deceive the Jews. It's going to deceive everybody in the world except for the elect. And the elect have already been removed. So basically he's going to deceive everybody in the world for the most part. He creates this peace treaty with Israel for 7 years. It's the 70th week of Daniel, that final week where God's going to bring everything to a conclusion. But in the middle of that week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall it be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined. So he, the prince from the old Roman Empire, is going to break this treaty with the Jews. It's called the abomination of desolation. He's going to walk into the temple and declare himself to be God. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus warned us about this. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. This abomination was spoken of by Daniel. There, we just read it. Jesus references it. Paul references it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, the rapture, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as from us, as though the day of Christ had come, the 70th week. It's called the day of the Lord. It's a period of testing and judgment. You see, the Thessalonians here in context, with the 2 Thessalonians, they write a letter to Paul and they're all scared because Paul had been with them and he had taught them eschatology, the study of the end times, what the word says, and taught them the gospel and taught them everything they needed to know. And he taught them, if you read 1 Thessalonians, you'll understand everything he taught them. And he taught them when he came to the eschatology, the church would be taken out. They're going to have tribulation. They're going to have persecution. But then they'll be taken out. And then sudden destruction will come upon the world. And he talks about the tribulation period. But someone, after Paul left, a false teacher came in and go, hey, you guys missed the rapture. You're in the day of the Lord. You're in that time of testing. You're in the tribulation period. And they are freaking out. So they write a letter to Paul, because you couldn't call back in those days, right? Couldn't text, couldn't email. So they sent him a letter going, Paul, what's going on? And Paul writes 2 Thessalonians. It's his response to them getting all crazy. He says, listen, don't be scared, don't be shaken in mind. As though the day of Christ had come, the 70th week. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, that period, that hour will not come unless the falling away comes first. And we've talked about that. The church falling away from the Word of God. Now, this period, the church is spreading across the Roman Empire. And we know what it's going to basically change the Roman Empire forever. But there's a time period when the church is not going to be powerful. The church is going to be declining. People are going to be falling away from it. So he says, listen, that's not happening. The church is spreading. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. Well, how do we know who the Antichrist is? Well, Daniel told us. He, the prince who is to come, is going to sign a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. That hadn't happened. Not here, during this time, and not even during our time yet. A lot of people are trying, though. So he's saying, listen, you haven't missed the rapture. You're not in the tribulation period. The falling away hasn't taken place. And there's no Antichrist on the scene. There's no peace treaty. Relax. Because this guy, the Antichrist, is going to do this peace treaty. And then 3.5 years into it, verse 4, he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. He's not going to be pointing people and telling people, hey, you need to worship God. No, no. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the Bible tells us that there's going to be another temple. The Antichrist is going to defile it. Now remember, before all this takes place, Revelation 3 verse 10, the faithful church is removed. John 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's going to come and get us and take us to his Father's house. The faithful church. But when? Well, we can say definitely this is going to happen. I say definitely, and I back it up with a lot more scripture than I've shown you here today. But I say before the 70th week, the last 7 years, it's going to happen. But also what we've learned from this prophetic study for the last 5 weeks is Israel has to be back in the land. Well, gee, 1948, that happened. And it's going to have to be like it was in the days of Noah. That's when it's going to happen. That's when we're getting towards the end. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said this, verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of Son of Man be. So Jesus says, Matthew chapter 4 and 24 is a prophetic chapter, signs of the times, telling the people what's going to happen in the end. And he says that when is the end going to come? Well, no one knows the exact hour or day, but it'll be as the days of Noah were. When we read this, what do we think? How bad? What do you think about when you think of the days of Noah, the people? Bad, they're violent, they're sinful, right? Well, we saw this in this study, 2 Timothy chapter 3, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, and people will be like this. And we went through that whole list. And then we found at the end, this list is describing people not in the unbelieving world, but inside the church. So if the church has become this sinful, how sinful is the unbelieving world? In the last days, people will be like this. Well, we see it. But see, there's another aspect to the days of Noah that a lot kind of miss. Let me show you. Matthew 24, verse 36, verse 37 there. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. But look at the very next verse. For as in the days before the flood, the people were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Sudden destruction came upon them. They were not ready. 2 Thessalonians, or actually 1 Thessalonians, when you read Paul, what he taught the Thessalonians, he teaches them that they're going to be under persecution. They're going to be suffering for the cause of Christ. But then they'll be raptured and they'll be with Christ and they'll be changed. And he encourages them with these words. And then he says, then sudden destruction comes upon the world. The tribulation period, judgment, the testing. Just like in the days of Noah. The people were not ready for it. They were all caught up in life. They were living life. Even though the sinfulness and the wickedness, they were all about living life. Eating and drinking and marrying. They were just going on. No concern of God. No concern of judgment. They were just living life, going about their business. No expectation of what was about to happen. And that's what we have today. The world is so full of sin, but people are just all about living life. They got their plans. They're doing their thing. They're chasing after all sorts of stuff, the cares of this life. Like I said, later today, there's going to be, the eyes of the world are going to be fixed on great athletes, battling out, battling for a one little ball and trying to push it up and down the field to gain a little trophy and a ring that one day will turn to dust. They're so caught up in this life and what this world has to offer. They have no concern for God anymore. There's no fear of God. And people scoff at Christ returning. They scoff at a judgment. They scoff at a 7-year tribulation period. The tribulation period, 70th week. The purpose of this tribulation period: to fulfill all God's prophecies and promises, His covenants, to bring an end to sin, to redeem Israel, to anoint Jesus as King. But it's also designed to do one more thing: to break the pride, the stubbornness of people who have refused to bend a knee to God. God's not punishing them because He's not bringing the tribulation period just because He's angry. He's angry at sin. He's angry at the violence. But He's trying to reach them one more time. You see, right now is the church age. You come to Christ by hearing the gospel. You get convicted of your sin. You repent. You change your mind of who you are, who God is. And you turn from your sin. And you put your faith in Christ. And you're saved by grace. But it'll get to the point where that's not going to work anymore. We're there. People have heard the gospel. They don't care anymore. Oh, we get one here or there, but that's what we're doing. But for the most part, people don't care about the gospel anymore. They've heard it. They're not going to believe. But God wants them to believe because He's patient that none should perish. So the people who are so prideful, so stubborn, He's going to allow to go into this period of testing. And it's going to be the worst time in human history. And He's going to break them, humble them, so that they will finally look to Him and call out to Him. And the Bible says the number that will be saved during that 70th week of Daniel can't even be counted. Praise God. But a lot are not going to believe. But that's why we have this tribulation period, to finalize everything God has done and to bring millions upon millions into the kingdom who wouldn't have come otherwise. So they didn't want the love of the truth now, so God's going to put them in the worst time in human history and they're going to wake up. But it's better to wake up now. It's better to receive it by grace and then be removed before the testing period comes. But hey, if you don't want to, you'll go through that tribulation period. So, how close are we to the 70th week? Come on up, team. How close are we to the 70th week? Well, let's look at this. All the qualifiers that we need for the 70th week to happen. Israel back in the land. Check. That's been 1948. So it couldn't have happened before 1948, but now it can. Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Hey, check. And that didn't happen till 2017 when Trump did it. But now it's the capital. Check. The eyes of the world focused on Israel. Check. That's happening. Sinfulness as the days of Noah. Check. That's happening. The faithful church has little strength. Check. That's happening. Doctrines of demons in the unfaithful churches. Check. We saw that last 2 weeks. A falling away from the truth of God's word. Check. World living life with no concern of judgment. Check. I could have added some more, but for sake of time, I didn't. It's all check marks. How close are we? It's tomorrow. So people looked up like, what? I saw that head pop up back there. Max. Max was like, yeah, he's going on. What? Tomorrow? No, it's not tomorrow. Could be. We've been promised 4 good golden years coming up. Our new president said, we're about to enter the golden age. And we might. Prosperity might return and times might be good. You know what's the tendency when the times are good? We put our guards down. We get comfortable. We get relaxed, and that can happen to the church. But remember, as the flood came upon the people who weren't expecting it, the end times are going to come upon the world, and they're not expecting it either. And the rapture is before that time, and the rapture is at a time that we do not know. And look what Jesus said. One final warning. Matthew 24:44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You see, we always expect the rapture when times are going bad. When the events of the world, it's scary. It's, oh, we got to be near the end. Rapture soon. But actually, the rapture is said when we don't expect it. Well, if we expect it when times are bad, when do we don't expect? Well, when times are good. We're about to enter a period that's been told it's going to be really good, but all the check marks have been checked. And now we're going to go when we usually don't expect the rapture. So maybe we're a lot closer than we think, folks. So, 2025, Prophecy Update, Part 6, the rapture. How much time do we have? Max, you can relax. I do not know. It could be years. Could be. Or it could be longer than that. It could be days. Or shorter than that. I don't know. But what I do know is all the checks have been checked. Everything the Bible says we're near the end is there. So here's what I do know. We have been called to fulfill God's plan for the nations, to bring the truth of the gospel to those who are lost, to be His church. I do know that God has given us an open door. We don't have a lot of strength. Hard to fill up a church here. But the door is open for us. What are we going to do with it? Will we all step through that door together as a team? Will we all do our part as God's chosen people? The Jews didn't, and they suffered greatly for it. God's going to redeem them. He's bringing them back. But He's called us in between to be the church, to do His will. Or are we going to let our guard down, be more focused on eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, to be caught up in the cares of this life? Well, that's for each one of us to decide. I can't decide it for you. You can't decide it for me. But I do know this as well. We have the greatest calling upon the earth. We're the greatest team that's ever been formed. The church of Jesus Christ. And we're this generation's team. We're this town's team. And we have a calling to be salt and light and to share the gospel, because just maybe the trumpet's going to sound and the time will be up. The church age will come to an end and the 70th week will begin. We are His church. Let's give Him our best. And I still didn't finish on time. Told you got to set that clock back. Let's pray, folks. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And I do thank you, and I pray that this is not a scary sermon. This is not a dreadful sermon. This is a sermon that, hey, we see the Bible coming to life right in front of us, Lord. Your timeline is moving, and that 70th week is out there, and it's coming. And whether it's many years from now or months, days, it doesn't matter to us, Lord, because we're about the same thing. Whether it's a long time or a short time, we are to be your church. We're to be sharing the gospel. We're to be doing the Great Commission. Nothing changes with the time. But we need to be doing it. We need to be ready. So, Lord, I ask you to help us understand that as your church. Understand that it's not about here coming just to attend church or going to a church to be entertained or whatever. It's about being your team. We have something really amazing to do for you. And let's go out and share with people. And you use us to draw lost souls to yourself. So I ask you to help us to be about that, Lord. Help us to love one another, to see that we're family, we're brothers and sisters, and we're united in you. And we have a common cause in you. And because we believe in you, we will be your church. I pray this in the name above every name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand up and sing, and then we'll go. I'm just hopeless. I just can't get done on time. Let's go.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe. In this broken generation, with all the dark you help us see, there is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father.
We believe. Well, let's go live what we believe, folks. Let's break out of here on the count of three. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.